It's the Book of the Week.
And it's that time of the week again. Yes, it's time for Portsmouth Authors Collective with myself and Laurie Westron, who's the founder of Portsmouth Authors Collective. And each week we have a guest author in. Today it's going to be Helen Salisbury. Helen is a novelist and short story writer with a particular focus on the environment. She's also the founder of the environmental writing initiative Pens of the Earth, which aims to promote local environmental projects and produce positive stories and poems on green issues. Pens of the Earth are about to publish an anthology of stories, poems and essays called Wild Seas, Wilder Cities, which will be launched at Portsmouth Guildhall on the 21st of October. I hand you over to Laurie and Helen now.
Hi there, it's Laurie Westron with you, and I'm here this morning with Helen Salisbury, whose book of the week is Wild Seas, Wilder Cities. And it's a wild-seeded collection of fiction, poems, memoirs, environmental articles, and illustrations from 54 unique contributors, all concerned with showing the positive side of our relationship with the earth. The many writers, poets, and artists in this book have given their work freely to support the vital work of the Hampshire and Isle of Wight Wildlife Trust's Solent Seagrass Restoration Project. Hi there, Helen. How are you doing this morning?
Hi, Laurie. I'm good, thank you.
So first of all, why don't you tell us about the collection?
Well, it's a collection that has been put together over the course of 5 years, and we have a lot of different contributors with very unique styles, and that's part of what makes it fun. It's a book about small changes and local action, and it also explores our connection with the natural world. It's about beauty and about hope. It's about the fact that we aren't powerless, and that making a difference isn't difficult and is often rewarding and heartlifting.
Fantastic. That looks like a really uplifting message for people. And the seagrass restoration, what can you tell us about that?
Seagrass meadows are just incredible. They do as much to keep the planet cool as rainforests. They absorb massive amounts of carbon dioxide. They're nurseries for baby fish, they're food for Brent geese, and they are a habitat for lots of seagrasses, including seahorses. They also improve the water quality, and they are natural flood defences. They slow the flow of the water. So that's why we chose them.
A fantastic, fantastic project, it sounds like. Very, very important. Tell us about the mix of stories, poems, and environmental messages that you've included.
Well, that's always been an organic thing. It's the way we started 5 years ago. We were very inspired by what we were seeing happening in Portsmouth, and we wanted to weave stories and poems around that to help spread awareness and also to change ourselves, because I think when you write about something, you really connect to it. There's a lot of fun in that. You know, you can craft a quirky story, a dramatic story, and writing about things that are really happening, I think, brings a certain energy to the stories and poems.
Yeah, fantastic. And what about the artwork? You've got artwork in there as well.
Yes, that was a very late addition. At the point that we were putting the book together, we were thinking that it would be nice to have pictures in the book. Mm-hmm. But because it was black and white, we had the idea of asking for black and white illustrations. We contacted local artists and said, would you be willing to do this? And they came good.
Fantastic.
And they've been amazing.
And so the title is very interesting. Wild Seas, Wilder Cities.
Well, it's really about the key projects that we've been so inspired by over the last 5 years, because there's a lot of talk and there's a lot of action about making our cities more livable. And that's everything from the Cornwallis Crescent Community Orchard, who plant fruit trees through the city for people to harvest fruit, to wilder streets where you're planting for pollinators, you're encouraging wildlife, to pocket parks and two community gardens. So that's the wilder city side. And then on the wilder seaside, obviously seagrass is a vital part of this. But we've got some amazing coastal habitats here. And we're actually the first seascape project in the UK. And a project called the Blue Marine Foundation is leading that. And they're restoring habitats, they're rewilding, they're doing things like introducing oysters, which are brilliant for creating habitats and cleaning the water. They're just rewilding the Solent.
Very interesting, Helen, and I think it's a lot of important work that we can see is going on out there. So, yeah, fantastic to highlight that. So, Helen, how important is the topic of the book, and how can readers help spread the word?
I would say it's vital. Apart from the stories and the poems, which I think really serve to engage you, the environmental articles within the book offer practical solutions and actions people can take, and you almost become part of a community by reading this book. And it's about hope and belief in the future, so it's vital. And when it comes to readers spreading the word, we are so grateful to readers for anything that they can do. Word of mouth is amazing. Buying the book for people is a Christmas present. And writing reviews for us, all of that is just so appreciated.
Yeah, fantastic. And I think that's the same with any book, is, you know, those reviews are really important. Where can people get it?
Right. Well, it's already available to pre-order at Pigeon Books. It's going to be available from other local independent bookshops, obviously from the PAC market stalls. Mm-hmm. And we're looking at placing it in lots of other places in Portsmouth and beyond. And check our website for that. But you can also buy it at events, including at our launch at Portsmouth Guildhall on Monday, the 21st of October.
Fantastic. I think that's going to be quite an event by the sounds of things. Where can people get tickets to the launch, and what's going to be happening there?
The launch is really a glimpse inside the book. A lot of the authors are going to be reading their own work. We're going to have short story extracts, we're going to have poetry, and we're going to have environmental speakers. It's going to be an opportunity to learn more about seagrass restoration. We've got litter art, which is these amazing artworks that a local textile artist has created out of things like sweet wrappers and plastic bags. And there's also a bar. You get the tickets from the Guildhall box office, and they cost just £6, and all of the proceeds from the launch go towards seagrass restoration.
Wonderful, wonderful. Okay, Helen, I understand that you've chosen not to make the paperback available on big online vendors. Why is that, and how does a would-be reader get hold of it?
Thanks, Laurie. It's about where the money goes. We want it to support independent bookshops and seagrass restoration, and not the marketplace giants. It was a very deliberate decision. And the answer is come to our website, because we will have a full choice of ways to purchase it online for delivery, including buying directly from us. I would say that the ebook will be available from all the usual places.
Great. So Pens of the Earth website is key to purchasing the book, and that's Pens of the Earth, not Friends.
That's right. Pens of the Earth, all one word, .co.uk.
Fabulous. Well, thank you very much for coming in and talking to us, Helen, and we wish you every success with the launch and the anthology.
Thank you. Thanks.
Thanks to Laurie. Thanks to Helen for that wonderful interview. And this is a song that Helen's chosen. It's Kate Bush from Wuthering Heights, taking us all back to 1978. I'll be back after this with Laurie for part two. Thanks to Helen Salisbury for coming in and for choosing that song. Before I get into part two of Portsmouth Authors Collective with myself and Laurie Westron, I want to play a little promo that's been put together by Jackie and Richard.
Climate change. Why are you so bothered?
It's important.
It's all doom and gloom.
There's a lot of positive work. Ordinary people doing extraordinary things.
Like what? That community garden won't last. The kids will ruin it.
It was the kids that helped plant it. They couldn't wait to make their homegrown pizza toppings.
How come I don't know about all this?
If you want to find out, I'll get you an extra ticket for the book launch, Wild Seas, Wilder Cities. It's a celebration in prose and poetry of all the changes that are happening. It's quite inspirational.
A bit more exciting than growing tomatoes.
It is. It's on at the Guildhall. Only £6.
When?
Monday the 21st of October, 6:30 start.
So I can buy the book there?
Yes, you might even learn a thing or two.
Well, I did sow a few wild seeds in my youth.
Different seeds, very different.
Thank you, guys. Bit of fun as well as a nice promotion for that event. And back with part two of Portsmouth Authors Collective with myself and Laurie Westron. Laurie, how are you doing?
Hey there, Bob.
Had a good week?
Yeah.
Weather's been nasty.
It's been a little bit damp.
Yes. So at the end of last week's show, or towards the end, we were talking about self-publishers and marketing techniques for them. Could we pick up on that?
Yeah, I think, you know, marketing is always the big question that we all ask. You know, how can we promote our books?
And I'm sure struggle with in most cases.
Absolutely. And you know, and that's such a big part of what PAC does. You know, we came together to promote each other, and by doing so, also hopefully promoting ourselves.
Yeah, and I mean, yeah, certainly looking after people in general who are members of PAC, and they want to get their books known about, and it's always going to be a tricky, troublesome thing.
It is. And, you know, so we've kind of been gathering information from our members and also the research that we've done on kind of the best ways to find that audience and connect with readers.
So what have you got?
So paid ads, of course, is one way of promoting your book. And you can do that through print publications. So there are literary magazines and journals who you can post or have print ads with. And then, of course, there are social media ads.
And, of course, that's the freebie, unless you want to start paying for ads.
Well, yeah, there's not much in life that is free. You know, we have tried to do things collectively to try and save people money for ads. I mean, it depends on everyone joining in and sharing each other's posts.
Do you think that if a new author is trying to put a plan together to launch a book, that they should create or they should put by a marketing budget?
Oh, absolutely. I think it's essential. And it's something that I wish that I had put more thought into or been guided a bit more, because I didn't really think too much about it until the book was out there. And then suddenly I'm thinking, oh, how do I find people who want to read it?
Something's just sprung to mind for me. So if you've got a book in hand and you want to get it into local bookshops, and as we know, most of those local bookshops are very generous with their bookshelves and allow you to put those books up. But if you took a poster in that was about the book, would that help?
Possibly. I mean, every shop would be different. I do know that there are some shops that would be very glad to put a poster up, and others who, you know, would be less so.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think outside the box.
Yeah.
And not as an author, just as a marketing guy, really.
And of course, posters are only reaching the people who happen to be walking by. So I think they have quite a limited local relevance.
Sure.
You know, this is maybe one area that social media is a real asset. I think having a social media presence, having an online presence of any sort, but Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, all of those avenues have a...
They've certainly got a value, haven't they?
They do.
And beyond that, it's that thing, isn't it, where we all know we should do it, but it's actually the doing of the social media. It's a discipline, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, I've only recently started really pushing the social media side of things with my own author's account, because I've seen the success that people like Bryony Best has had. So she is very active on social media. So yes, I've tried to take a few tips from her, and I've also taken out a few paid Facebook ads as well, which have shown a positive result.
Yep.
So I wouldn't necessarily recommend that to everyone, and I've only spent small amounts of money doing that, but there does seem to be some good results that have come.
That's great. And is there anything else that's easy for somebody to do? And I say that because in running the radio station, if I'm left to look after the social media myself, it's a task and a half.
Oh, it is, because, you know, I think there are a number of different things that have been introduced, you know, videos and audio recordings and text posts. And so you, I think, have to do kind of a mixture of things.
Which I have noticed you are doing more of. You're doing a few reels and things like that.
Yeah, and I have been doing that recently because I think the algorithms, I mean, nobody understands algorithms. You know, if they tell you that they do, I'm not so sure that they, you know, are the right people to talk to. But you know, they can really constrict the reach of your posts, or they can help it to spread.
Are you finding that the reels are helping in any way? Have you had positive traction from that?
Yeah, well, I can see how many people have looked at them, and you know the numbers are okay. They're still quite small, but you know, I think it's growing.
Yeah, and it is as we're trying to reinforce, it's putting that effort in, even though you might not see much traction immediately, but you've got to keep going.
Yeah. I think to get back to what is the biggest help for a writer, it's reviews. And I think all of these things, we're not just looking for book sales, but we're looking for book reviews. And it's the reviews that encourage other readers to pick up your book. You know, so it's a combination of things, but it is quite a complicated business, I'm finding.
Yeah, I'm understanding more and more. And the more we speak on or off air, I realize it is a big conundrum to market an unknown author.
Yeah, it is. And so it is getting your name known. And we have, as you know, been in touch with lots of local bookshops and other businesses who have been willing to stock our books. And I think also doing personal appearances, that sounds very grand, but talks to groups, you know, special interest groups or groups such as the WI or U3A. They have a lot of meetings where, you know, people will get together because they're interested in a particular topic. If your book fits that particular topic, then they are very definitely a group that you want to speak to.
That's brilliant. Let's leave it at that, Laurie, because we could talk all day about marketing and probably still not really get where we want to get to. And I mean that in the most gracious way. Mm. I am interested in what's coming up for PAC at the moment.
We've got a lot of things coming up in the next few weeks. So one thing that I would like to mention really quickly is that at the moment we're running a crowdfunder. PAC is joining together with the Portsmouth Writers Hub, Star and Crescent, and some of the other local writing organizations in town. And we want to employ a co-coordinator who will help us apply for funding. Funding is out there. And what we're trying to do is to extend our reach and what we do with the community, and also to make the different writing organizations sustainable in the long term. All of these organizations, the Collective, the Hub, Star and Crescent, they are all run by volunteers. And, you know, what happens if those volunteers are no longer there?
Yeah.
And I think we really want to make sure that what we're doing now goes into the future, even when we're not here to, you know, to do the legwork.
Yeah, I understand that your dream is to have a permanent multifunction space for workshops.
Absolutely. I think, you know, someplace like that where we could really get creative and do some, you know, not just live readings, but live performances or other events and workshops to help new writers develop their craft. I mean, that's what the hub is all about. And a space for selling our books as well.
That would be a dream come true, wouldn't it? Helen and Richard, Helen was in earlier.
At the cathedral tomorrow from 11 o'clock, they're going to be signing copies of their novels. So do pop along and see them. And then on Saturday, we are going to be at St. Faith's Church in Leon Solent for their autumn festival. So that's a big group of PAC authors and PAC books. We'll have a nice stall there. So do come along. There'll be lots of other activities and things going on, lots of other craft items for sale and food and hopefully some goats as well.
Some goats. How marvellous. Okay. So and also the ever busy Christine Lawrence is up to some more events.
Yes, she is. So she's always very busy, as we know, and she is going to be at Portsmouth Cathedral next Thursday, the 10th of October, signing books as well. We're going to be there on a weekly basis between now and the end of the year.
Well, wow, that's good.
Yeah. And, you know, it's really turning out to be a really good venue for our books.
Excellent. Laurie, like I say, every week, everything comes to an end, and we are well into our time. So, yeah, it'd be great to have you back next week with your guest author. Who's that going to be?
If the phone lines are working, we're going to be talking to Bryony Best, who is now living in Wales.
I look forward to that. She always interviews brilliantly well, and on the phone it'll be even better, I
think. She's fantastic, yes. So even though she's in Wales now, she is still the girl from Pompey.
What a way to go out. Thank you, Laurie.
See you.